The epistle appointed to be read for today's Mass is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 15. Brethren, what things soever were written for our learning, that through patience and the comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. Now the God of patience and of comfort grant you to be of one mind, one towards another, according to Jesus Christ, that with one mind and with one mouth you may glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive one another as Christ also hath received you unto the honor of God. For I say that Christ Jesus was minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, but that the Gentiles are to glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, Therefore will I confess to thee, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and will sing to thy name. And again he saith, Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and magnify him, all ye peoples. And again Isaiah saith, There shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise up to rule the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope and in the power of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 11. At that time, when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, sending two of his disciples, he said to him, Art thou he that art to come, or do we look for another? And Jesus, making answer, said to them, Go and relate to John what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead rise again, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he that shall not be scandalized in me. And when they went their way, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, What went you out into the desert to see? A reed shaken with the wind. But what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft garments. Behold, they that are clothed in soft garments are in the houses of kings. But what went you out to see? A prophet? Yea, I tell you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my angel before thy face, who shall prepare thy way before thee. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my angel before thy face, who shall prepare thy way before thee. Words taken from today's Mass, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, we are now already in the second week of Advent, and I would like to speak to you this morning about the meaning of Advent. The word, of course, means coming, and the specific reason that we enter into the season of Advent is to prepare for the coming of the Christ child. But during these weeks of preparation, we are to focus our concentration on the coming of our Lord this Christmas. For nearly 4,000 years, mankind had to wait for the coming of the Redeemer. And finally, 4,000 years after Adam and Eve and original sin was committed, our blessed Savior entered into this world. And he came in the form of a little infant. And during his life, he suffered all the pains and sorrows that we experience. And he did this because he loves us, more, in fact, than we love ourselves. He loves us so much that that is what moved him to become a man, to come to this world, and to go through with every single sorrow and pain that he was to experience, especially during his passion, and then redeem us. So it is because of the incarnation, because our Lord, our God, became a man, that our redemption was made possible. So important and so astounding is this that St. Augustine refers to the incarnation as the focal point in the history of the world. 9 months after the second person of the Blessed Trinity took on flesh, he was born into this world. And these truths, which we know, are brought before our minds during these 4 weeks, or 3 weeks this Advent, to help us to prepare for that great coming, which we renew. The events which we read about at these times during these 4 Sundays bring home very clearly those things which Holy Mother Church wishes for us to meditate upon and to consider far more so than any other time during the year. In the Gospel for today's Mass, we have a clear example of someone who prepared others for the coming of our Lord. St. Matthew writes, "Behold, I send my angel before thy face, who shall prepare thy way before thee." And the angel referred to in this passage is St. John the Baptist. St. John's mission, which was a divine mission, was to actually prepare, specifically so, the hearts of the people who lived in Palestine, to prepare them for the coming of the Messiah. That was his entire mission. And he did it so perfectly. His preaching was so powerful. In fact, it moved the hearts of his hearers to such a degree that it went back and it reached the authorities, the Romans. It spread throughout all of Palestine. St. John the Baptist was imprisoned for his preaching, and he was, in the end, beheaded for the preservation and the preaching of the one true faith. St. John's mission began far more back in time before he was imprisoned. His mission began, so to speak, when he was sanctified, while he was still in the womb of his mother, St. Elizabeth. Looking at the passage in the Gospel when Our Lady arrived at the house of her cousin, St. Elizabeth, we see that Our Lady greeted her. St. Elizabeth said to her, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." Part of the Hail Mary, which we pray every day, we repeat these words. And St. Elizabeth was telling her cousin Mary how blessed she was to be the Mother of God. And St. Elizabeth was the first woman to praise the Savior and his mother. So too was the son in her womb the first man to proclaim him, to preach him. And this we know from the words of St. Elizabeth when she said to Mary, as St. Luke writes, "As soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the infant in my womb," that is St. John the Baptist, "leapt for joy." And according to the fathers of the church, that is the exact moment when St. John the Baptist had his soul cleansed from the original sin, which we just celebrated recently, the Immaculate Conception, by which Our Lady was the only person, human, ever preserved totally from the original sin, of which St. John the Baptist did have in coming into the world, but he had it removed at this point in time. Our Lady learned of St. John's miraculous conception during the first mystery of the Joyful Mysteries of the Rosary, when we bring to our minds that great event of the Annunciation, when the Archangel Gabriel appeared to Our Lady in the house of Loreto and announced to her that she was to become the Mother of God. And he also stated at that time that her cousin Elizabeth was to have a child. And then Our Lady, as St. Luke writes, went with haste to her cousin Elizabeth. And when we think about what these words "with haste" mean, as St. Luke was a doctor, one of the evangelists, and of course, being inspired by the Holy Ghost, they chose their words with great care. They are inspired by God, and they use the words "with haste." And it just simply shows that Our Lady, in consenting to become the Mother of God, that immediately afterwards that she rose up and she went right away to her cousin with haste. She did not wait. She did not think of herself. Instead of beginning to prepare for the coming of her own son, which she rightfully could have done, who had just become incarnate, she rather went with haste to Elizabeth to immediately assist her cousin with her approaching delivery. Saint Bonaventure writes about this occasion. He says that in company with her beloved spouse, Saint Joseph, she immediately set out on her journey. It wasn't like going down to Cairo or somewhere that we might think. They traveled a great distance to get to her cousin. They actually, of course, were living in Nazareth, which at the time was in Palestine, was in Galilee, in northern Palestine. And they had to go all the way through central Palestine, through Samaria, and get all the way down into southern Palestine, into a little town called Ein Kerem. And it was, as we know, 70 miles, in fact, from their home at the house of Loreto. And St. Bonaventure continues in his description of the difficulties and hardships which they encountered, because it was not flat. It was filled with valleys, hills. It was a difficult journey. St. Bonaventure writes, "Neither the length of the journey nor the labors of the way could deter Mary from her pious resolution. But without delay, she went on with all speed." He says, "Imagine the ever glorious Virgin, Queen of Heaven and Earth, with her beloved spouse, traveling so far on those difficult roads." St. Bonaventure says that she did not go on a pampered horse or gilded car. She was not escorted by a military band of armed soldiers, and not triumphant amidst a crowd of nobles. Without a doubt, she did deserve all these things on her journey combined, but he says poverty, humility, modesty, and every graceful virtue, these were her companions instead. And eventually, after that 70-mile journey, which they say would have taken about 4 days to complete, the Holy Family arrived at St. Elizabeth's house, and for the next 3 months, Our Lady remained there with her cousin, preparing for the birth of St. John the Baptist, doing the daily chores, the things around the house, the common things which most people take for granted, don't think about, except, of course, for mothers. But in the actions of our Blessed Mother on that period of time, those 3 months, she did not think of herself. She did not think at all about what she might want to do or what she would like to do in the future, but she took one day at a time, and she helped in the little ways to prepare for the coming of the one who would herald our Lord, the one who would preach, so well that he would be martyred by way of beheading, to preach and to prepare the world for the coming of the Christ child. So when you look at this part in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, and you read the simple words that she went with haste to visit her cousin Elizabeth, we read through it, and it's very simple to continue on to the next verse to see what comes next. But again, we have to stop and sort of meditate upon what these words mean. That is why Advent is long, and it takes weeks upon weeks to prepare for the coming of Christmas, because we want to be prepared for that great day. We sort of imitate our Blessed Mother, in a sense, in that three-month period of preparing for the coming. And as I said, Our Lady was truly generous. That's what moved her to go to Ein Kerem. It was her generosity. A person cannot say that it was due to her selfishness in any way, but complete selflessness. That's what you can describe her actions as. And that is what we need to imitate, especially during the season, when it's very easy to get caught up in our own things, that we have to look to Our Lady, to the Blessed Mother, to the great example that she set for us. So as St. Luke records that she went with haste to visit her cousin Elizabeth, let us also be quick to do good for others, to be quick to be the one to take the next step, to do what is good. We might recoil from doing certain things because it's difficult. It sort of puts us out, but that's where our generosity will come through. Use every opportunity that comes your way this Advent to make your heart ready for the coming of Christ this Christmas. And when you know someone perhaps is in need of something, and you have it in your power to help to alleviate their burdens or troubles, try to be generous. Try to make yourself available for their needs. And we have to remember, we will not, our Lord himself will reward us for these things. He will not be outdone in generosity, and we know that. But we have to believe it. We have to put that into practice. So let us then strive to imitate our Blessed Mother by practicing generosity through our daily acts of charity and especially kindness. And in this way, we will be able to prepare our heart more worthily for the coming of the infant Jesus this Christmas. God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.